From theunce.com, this is The Unce Podcast, featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com.
Hello and welcome to The Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. Once again, Derek Vincent Smith returns to The Unce Podcast. On April 19th, which just happens to be Record Store Day, Smith is dropping the latest Pretty Lights album, The Hidden Shades. The double 10-inch vinyl contains four songs from the A Color Map of the Sun sessions, as well as four remixes of those tracks from Odessa, Emancipator, Blue Sky Black Death, and Love and Light. Derek Vincent Smith also reveals his plans for this summer, which includes some insight into why he's been in California for the past couple of weeks. You're going to want to stay tuned to find out more about that. This weekend, Pretty Lights joins Grizz, Michael Mennert, Paul Basic, Supervision, Mimosa, Kill the Noise, Hero Bus, Wave Racer, Chrome Sparks, Trippy Turtle, The Floozies, and many, many more at Snowball Festival in Denver, Colorado, April 4th through the 6th. Derek's setup includes longtime drummer Adam Deitch, as well as a new member of the team, champion turntablist Chris Carnes. You'll find out more about how that's going to work later on in the program. Visit snowballfestival.com to grab your tickets and set yourself up for the after parties taking place all weekend at 1UP on Colfax, Castleman's, Cervantes, and NORAD. We'll get to the interview with Derek Vincent Smith in a second, but first I'd like to remind folks that at tickets.theunce.com, you can find passes for Five Elements Festival in San Diego coming up this weekend. We've also got Infrasound Festival tickets featuring Tipper, the Polish Ambassador, and Michael Mennert in Wisconsin this June, and passes for Farm Fest taking place in New Jersey at the end of July with Papadozio, Yodo, and many more. All right, let's get to the interview.
You were last on the show back in June of 2013, as we were steadily approaching A Color Map of the Sun when that was coming out, and we talked a lot about that process. Now, The Hidden Shades, it's set for a April 19th release. Are these tracks from that A Color Map of the Sun session? Is this material that came about in the same way that that album did?
Yeah, it is. It completely is. They're actually songs that I originally intended to be on the record, A Color Map of the Sun. I had been thinking about a longer record. You know, I wanted to have, you know, I was aiming for 20 songs from the beginning. And then when it got closer, you know, I had produced the record with the intent of having 20 tracks on it. And, you know, then I started thinking about the idea of an album, you know, in this age where, like, the medium no longer dictates the length of the record. You know, it could be 4 days long if an artist wanted it to be. And so, I really just wanted to think about the, you know, like, the natural length of time that people can listen to and enjoy, you know, a record as a collection of music, you know, as a body of music. And at some point, I changed my mind from thinking that a really long, prolific release would be, you know, the best thing. And so that, combined with the amount of songs I could fit on vinyl, sort of dictated or helped me make that decision, really, what I wanted to do. So ended up doing 13 tracks on the actual release and 16 on the digital. And I saved 4 tracks to do as a Record Store Day thing. So yeah, they're all part of the same body of work in my mind. They've just sort of come out in different ways. You know, maybe eventually I'll put out something akin to a director's cut download or something with all 20 songs how I originally envisioned it. But I'm just really stoked to get the remaining track, the remainder from this vision project and time period out there, because they're dope. You know, when I sat down and had to choose which songs not to go on the record, it really wasn't an extremely pleasant experience. I liked all the tracks.
They're all your babies. These are all your babies. It's got to be excruciating to try and whittle that list down.
Yeah, it is. And I constantly go back and I'm like, oh, well, maybe that one should have actually been on the full record. And, you know, so it wasn't like these 4 songs are the weakest, I'm not going to put them on. It was just like me trying to come up with, you know, a a good diverse selection of the body of work for a perfect length record, or what my idea of a perfect length record was. So yeah, I like these tracks just as much, as, if not more, than a lot of the tracks on A Color Map, and I'm stoked about the release because it's got, you know, the remixes on one 10-inch, and before, I guess they're being called B-sides now on the other 10-inch.
It's going to be pretty cool. I like 10-inches in general anyway, so, and I wanted to do something for Record Store Day for many years now, and it takes being prepared many months in advance to make it happen and make sure you have the vinyl ready and out to the stores by the day. So yeah, we've been working on it since like November or December of last year
to make sure it all came together right, or even before that, maybe, I can't remember, but yeah, I'm stoked about it, and the remixes are really fresh too.
I wonder, you know, as we're talking about these songs being so personal and such a part of you, that remix process, it's not difficult because you're excited to hear your buddies and people that you like in the industry reinterpret your own vision. I got to imagine that's really cool to hear something that you've made come back to you. But when it comes to picking those remixes, I wonder what your process is like for that. And if that differed in any way with this particular release, The Hidden Shades, versus when you put out the A Color Map of the Sun remixes.
Yeah, good question. It did very much, actually. So when I was producing A Color Map, I was at times conflicted because throughout the process of going from, you know, filling up the city skies to the three EPs I did in 2010, it was like, you know, and I think that all producers who perform live can relate to this, is that you start feeling like you need to tweak your style, or you're tempted to tweak your style to be more proper in the live scenario. I'm sure a ton of people have said that, and I guess I just didn't want to do that at the time. You know, I wanted to just make the music that suited, you know, that went with the vision that I had. You know, I didn't want to like try to make some super banging drop just for, you know, just to appease you know, the live show, when I was really just trying to make a consistent and simultaneously diverse quality collection of music for an album, or an album, you know. And so, you know, the remixes, I really wanted to hear those songs in a different light, so that I could, one, hear that, two, let, you know, producers... Give producers that I respect and am a big fan of, like, the opportunity to manipulate, you know, these sounds and different stems that I put a lot of work into, and then also be able to take my favorite parts of those remixes and sort of re-edit them into the original and have more options for improvising live. You know, it's like before the remix album for A Color Map came out. I'm abbreviating the name of my own record. before the remix record for A Color Map of the Sun came out, I really hadn't ever played other people's tracks live. You know, it was that was my sort of my creed that I would, you know, always stick to original productions, whether, you know, remixes or whatever, but or mashups, but mainly, you know, original songs. And with this, I felt like it was cool because they were remixes of my own tracks, and they were all people that I knew. There were a couple of those guys that I hadn't actually met yet, but it worked really well. You know, I was able to sort of play my original productions and improvise those with the band, and then when the time called for it in the set, I could step up the energy level with the remixes if I need to, or vice versa. And so, yeah, for that one, I definitely mainly reached out to people who I thought would make a pretty hype remix, you know? And then with with The Hidden Shades, I it was more about, I'm not sure it was, you know, intended from the beginning for me to keep it consistent on energy level, but I ended up seeing that the remixes for these songs had a sort of a continuity in the vibe.
If I can jump to a conclusion, which is always dangerous. It almost seems like with these remixes, or at least the people you've selected, you're almost reverse engineering the remixes that would fit with your set. You pick some very hip-hop oriented artists, Emancipator, Odessa, Blue Sky, Black Death, versus maybe some of the remixers on A Color Map. You've got 12th Planet, you've got Datsik, not necessarily part of your overall sound or approach, something wildly different from what you do ordinarily. But with some of these guys on the new remixes, it seems like that's more in tune with your set and would be much more consistent with your vibe.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah, the remixes on Hidden Shade are more consistent with, you know, the vibe of the tracks that I produced, just in a different way, whereas the Color Map ones are more, you know, in other subgenres such as dubstep and trap and, you know, that kind of stuff.
And that makes sense.
But it was good.
With the album dropping on Record Store Day, you had mentioned that this is very important to you. I got to imagine, as somebody who is releasing so much music, you know, in the digital medium, free downloads out there, all digital, and then to be able to put out A Color Map and now this new double 10-inch, that's got to be, you know, it's got to feel good to be giving back in a way. We, you know, we see record stores in jeopardy and you know, the big guys surviving and maybe the little mom and pops shutting down. This has got to feel good to you to sort of give back in a way and really celebrate the record store where I imagine you spent, you know, most of your youth digging through albums, and this has made you who you are.
That's very true. And that is a big part of the connection I feel to the holiday that is Record Store Day, the holiday to us, vinyl lovers, you know, and to be honest, you know, when I was younger, I didn't even know about Record Store Day, and then when I found out about it, I really wanted to do something immediately for it, but then I realized how much prep time it took, so there's been a couple years where I really wanted to do something and then wasn't able to, so that being the first time that I have, you know, something coming out on Record Store Day, I'm really stoked about it, and, you know, I'm going to be doing a lot more stuff like that, you know, more limited releases or just a lot more vinyl, because I saw, you know, one, I saw how many people were stoked about that, like a new generation, like buying vinyl for the first time. Like I did a mm-hmm. few in-store signings or whatever at Amoeba and some different record stores across the states, and you know, one thing I heard so many times were that people were buying copies of the vinyl, or multiple copies of the vinyl, and then they would tell me they didn't even have a record player, and they were like, okay, so what kind of record player should I buy? So I was like giving, you know, record, you know, player recommendations to, you know, people who were coming to these in stores, and I don't know, I thought that was really cool, but it's sort of like a, you know, it goes hand in hand with the resurgence of what's happening with music technology. I mean, it's like full circle, you know, it's like it was full analog, and then we eventually got all this technology and went into computers and DAWs and Ableton and digital, and now all the plugins are like trying to emulate old analog stuff, and like every, you know, people are really trying to go back to that, you know, including in the way that the music is released, and I think it's a really cool thing, and I'm stoked to be a part of it and to, you know, push it as much as I can as well. Anyway, I hope, I mean, I know that I enjoy listening to A Color Map of the Sun on vinyl, you know, way more than in any other medium, well, besides the tape reels, but I'm the only one who has those.
You are.
More from Derek Vincent Smith in a minute. Here's Odessa's remix of Lost and Found.
cannot see. In the dark, that high
Found, the Odessa remix that will be part of the Hidden Shades, the double 10-inch vinyl from Pretty Lights, out April 19th.
Speaking of vinyl, your Snowball set, which is coming up April 5th, it's highly anticipated, not just because it's, you know, here in Denver and people are excited to see you back in Colorado, but you have a brand new setup for that, which includes your old buddy Adam Deitch on drums, which fans are familiar with, but you're also introducing Chris Carnes, a champion turntablist, into the mix. Tell me a little bit about this concept and you know, what fans can expect.
Well, you know, it came about because on the Analog Future tour that I did in the fall of 2013, I toured with a band. The first shows with the band ever were at Red Rocks, which I always do to myself. I put these, like, massive ideas on the table and try to pull them off in, like, the most biggest, you know, epic venue, you know, for the first time.
Right, right.
Kind of something that I fall into continually.
Just to give yourself a little added pressure.
Yeah. And so what I did on that tour was I wanted to be writing in a lot of music and producing and directing, you know, live breaks similar to the extra live session tracks that are on the deluxe version of Color Map the Sun, and do it in a new way. So I brought this massive rack of gear, and I was literally processing all the mic lines from the band through all this analog old school hardware, and then recording it. And so during sound check, we were doing the same thing, but we were writing new music, and then I would sort of, like, call out the drop this in, drop that out, like, bring this, and then so that when I took the recording, I would have, you know, all these different elements to manipulate. And so a lot of those breaks we performed live, and you know, even more of them we didn't perform live. And so realizing that I had all this music, and it's one of the projects I'm working on right now is taking all that music I wrote with the band and producing it, and, you know, sort of chopping it up to make it proper for a release and really showcase the dopest parts of it. I just realized that I wanted to continue to bring that sound to the stage, but in a new way. You know, so I've taken a lot of those tracks and I've sort of produced them, sampled them, remixed them into like pretty light tracks rather than like the live band breaks, right? And utilizing Chris Carnes and his amazing skill set and musicality as a turntablist allows me to take some of those layers, like the horn lines or a specific keyboard melody, and give him basically a handful of pieces to each of these tracks and let him manipulate them on the fly. And you know, it's the same thing I'll be doing. So it's like I go back and listen to these breaks that we wrote and I produce them and then I divvy them up. I give a few sounds to Chris and a few sounds to myself and then basically remix those live breaks that were recorded on tour in a new way, live on stage at Snowball, which will be the first one. There will be more to come. But yeah, that's the idea, is that I can sort of take this live music, you know, heaps of live music that was written on tour and, you know, and also, you know, other tracks from my discography or whatever, mm-hmm. and be able to actually manipulate and remix them live, like fully do that. You know, it's like producer as performer, it's been like this, it's been a struggle for, I feel like, the whole scene for people to find like ways to really be performing beyond mixing, you know, or mixing and playing a couple sounds on top of it. You know what I mean? So with my last tour, it's like I had all this crazy gear up there and a band, and I was, you know, working with them and conducting that and playing multiple synthesizers and live bass and stuff like that. So there was a lot of improv and that kind of thing going on, but I wanted to embrace that element in a much more production conducive way. So it's just going to be like true improvisational production. So it doesn't sound noodly or like a noodly band ever. It's more just like
without structure,
dope chopped remixes of you know, that are stable and fresh, but like new, like right on the spot, you know. So I've been messing around with Chris and like playing and coming up with ideas on how to approach this. And, you know, we've even got this set up where like I can, what I'm playing live goes directly to him and he can pick and choose pieces to like, oh, I'm going to sample that right off what Derek just played. And then he can like start cutting it up, you know, with the turntable and Serato. And so it's a pretty cool method we've worked out where, you know, he's got a lot to work with. Plus he can, I send him a line that when I'm playing something, he can take a piece and manipulate it right there, like immediately. It's really badass. We practiced it in the studio for a while and we're both pretty impressed on the freshness of it.
Once again, it sounds like you're breaking new ground with the live performance. You might have alluded to it a little bit, but is this a setup you think that we could see coming into spring tour or even summer festival season for you?
You know, possibly. I'm looking at doing a smorgasbord of different types of pretty light performances throughout the festival season, new ways to perform by myself, performing with the band that I've been playing with in different and new ways, and continuing that, and then also this other lineup that I've been speaking to you about, you know. And it's really cool because we've all, you know, we all knew, some of us knew each other. I mean, I knew everyone, but some of the people that I worked with knew each other and whatnot, and some didn't. And it's evolved into like this crew that really works well together. You know, I just, I don't want to talk much about it, but I just came out of the studio for 5 days out here attempting some new techniques with, I mean, there must have been 20 musicians, you know, in the studio that I could, you know, work with it when I needed to, and a whole slew of antique instruments and, yeah, I mean, I don't want to talk about it much, but it's really fresh, and the new sounds and the new styles that I'm getting into with this crew is really exciting, and I'm really looking forward to being able to continually drop new music over the festival season, because I've already, you know, got a lot of it, and we'll be working on it simultaneously. So, yeah, 2014 is going to be a really cool year for me performing, you know, festivals, because when I can have a different show every weekend, it really excites me, you know what I mean? Rather than just, like, performing the same stuff in a different way, I'll actually be having more music as the summer goes on and continually, so it's just going to, it'll be obvious that it's, like, evolving and changing if you were to see multiple shows, you know, so, you know, I purposefully tried to lay it out like that, and that's one of the reasons that I wanted to jump on Snowball in the first place, was to really just light a fire and, like, really jump into making this happen immediately. So, you know, there wouldn't be, you know, that's the only reason that I'd be playing in Colorado again so soon, is because I really believe that this idea for the Pretty Lights show is, like, beyond significantly different and fresh, and I don't want to start it anywhere else.
Well, you just made a ton of Pretty Lights fans happy. Everybody's going to be excited about the new material. We're excited to see this new setup at Snowball, The Hidden Shades, out April 19th. Derek Vincent Smith, Pretty Lights. Thanks so much for being on the Unts podcast once again.
Yeah, the Unts, always coming proper. Thank you so much for speaking with me. I'm on. I really appreciate it.
Lights. It's going to be part of the Hidden Shades double 10-inch vinyl, coming out on Record Store Day, April 19th. That double vinyl edition will include three never-before-heard Pretty Lights songs, as well as four remixes from Odessa, Emancipator, Blue Sky Black Death, and Love and Light. If you're in Denver this weekend, you're going to want to make sure you've got your tickets in hand for Snowball Festival, taking place April 4th through the 6th at the park at Sports Authority Field at Mile High Stadium. Pretty Lights is headlining the festival with his brand new setup that includes DMC champion Chris Carnes on turntables and Adam Deitch on drums. He'll be joined by Grizz, Michael Mennert, Paul Basic, Supervision, Mimosa, The Floozies, Clockwork, Wave Racer, and many, many more. Make sure to grab your late night tickets for 1UP Colfax, Castleman's, Cervantes, and Noride, taking place each night of the festival. Checking in on our contest page, we're giving away festival passes to Euphoria in Austin, Bicycle Day in San Francisco, Lightning in a Bottle, Mad Tea Party Jam, and The Works' entire spring run. Head on over to theunts.com/contests and sign up to enter any one of those contests with just a click of the button. Please visit theunts.com for news, artist profiles, tour dates, and tickets to some of the biggest shows across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the Unts podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theunts.com. That's A-N-A-N-D @theunts.com. Join the conversation @theuntspodcast on Twitter.